Take your Bible tonight to 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll jump right into the lesson now a little later than normal, but I realize that we have a little shorter message than normal tonight. At least it was before I said that, and we'll see how it goes. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Our text will be the same text that we started with last week, verse number 2. Find that text. Let's read together here where the Bible says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." And dear Father, I pray that you'll open our eyes again tonight to your truth. Teach us from it. Thank you for all that this book tells us and teaches us about salvation and about after we're saved. I pray that you'll bless me tonight, know what to say, where to linger, where to move on, and to have a good Bible study that'll help people be a blessing to folk. Lord, bring honor and glory to you, that you'll be pleased. That's the most important thing, that you are pleased. May you be pleased with our meeting tonight. In Jesus' name and amen. There are five biblical evidences of salvation that we have talked about for the past several weeks. Good proofs biblically that you are a born-again child of God. The witness of the Holy Spirit, the recognition of the Savior's voice, the love of the brethren, the chastisement of the Father, and the presence of spiritual appetites. Now, if you've been writing those five evidences down, notice that the Trinity is involved in these evidences. There is an evidence involving each member of the Trinity, the witness of the Spirit, the recognition of the Savior's voice, and then the chastisement of the Father. When God saved us, we said last week that He created an appetite within us for His Word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And we gave you several thoughts about that matter of appetite. Appetite is immediate. Appetites are only satisfied temporarily. Activity requires replenishment. And on and on. And we talked about that last week. Now, again, that is one of the evidences of biblical salvation. An appetite for God's Word. Now, by creating this spiritual appetite within us, God was very good to us. Because He provided for everything we would need to grow and mature as His people. He created the appetite within us. And then right here in His book, this Word of God has within it all that is necessary for my growth and development as a child of God. This book has all that is necessary for your growth and your development as a child of God. So God creates the appetite spiritually when you get saved. And then in His Word here are all the things necessary to grow us up and to mature us so that we can become pleasing, children are pleasing unto Him. I want to talk about some things that the Bible is to us. What it is. What did God give us when He gave us the Bible? What is the Bible to a child of God? And this one tonight is a little bit like last week. Same topic, but different things to think about. His Word is nourishing food. His Word is nourishing food. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15 and verses 15 and 16. Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. So you see how God worked this thing. He creates within us the desire, the spiritual appetite. When you get saved, there is an appetite. A baby doesn't wait 4 days to eat. A baby is ready to eat in a matter of hours, okay? It's quick. It happens. It's normal. And so God did that with us when He saved us. He created appetites, and those appetites can be fulfilled in the Bible. Now, Jeremiah is writing here in chapter 15. Jeremiah was never taken into captivity into the land of Babylon. Daniel was. Ezekiel was. Jeremiah was never removed from Jerusalem. Look at verse number 15. O Lord, Thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in Thy long suffering. Know that for Thy sake I have suffered rebuke. His prayer is here. He is requesting that God be gracious to him and not take him away into captivity. Brother, are you cold out there tonight? Brother Joe, can you override that? Just override both of them because it's still going, isn't it? Just override and cut it off. And we'll have to just do that until we can get this thing figured out. So he asks God here, don't take me away. He reminds God, I have suffered rebuke for your name's sake. I have been persecuted for your name's sake. But God, I don't want to leave. I don't want to be taken away into Babylon. Please don't take me away. And so I don't want that to happen. And then the Bible says, in verse number 16, Jeremiah recalls how when God's word came to him, it was like eating nourishing food. Look at what he said. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You see, Jeremiah recalls how good it was when he found God's word. It was like nourishing food. You see, the word of God is to my spiritual man what food is to my physical man. It's nourishment. Now, you know, I've been on this subject before. Everybody, most people love to eat. Baptists are known about being, they love to eat. You want to have a good crowd? Have a potluck supper. Amen. And the people come out of the woodwork. I mean, it's just part of it. You've heard it said that a fence around, the fence around the chicken's graveyard is a preacher's belt. You've heard it say that, you know. And we love to eat. And they had a meal yesterday. We had an ordination service yesterday. And a fine boy out of Crown College in Powell, Tennessee. Fine young man. I mean, I was impressed. Daddy's a missionary in Poland. 24 years old, this boy was. And they had ham, and they had corn, and they had potatoes, and they had beans, and they had dessert, and they had it all. And I tell you what, you want to draw a crowd, just have a meal. Because people love to eat. I've seen the bumper stickers that says some people eat to live, and others live to eat. Amen, you've seen that. And that's how we are sometimes. It's not hard to get a crowd when you got food going on. Now, that's okay. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. That's good. There's a reason God created us with a physical appetite. There's a reason God created us with a physical appetite. Because food is fuel for my physical life. Food is fuel for my physical life. So I got to have fuel. So God gives me an appetite for food because that's fuel for my physical life. And it was set up like that. I'm going to watch my time here. It was set up like that all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where God told Adam and Eve, said, here are the trees growing up. They're good for food. This is before sin came. This is before sin, they disobeyed God and fell. It was in the plan of God for Adam to fuel his physical life with good food. And we enjoy doing that when God set up his laws for Israel. He included dietary laws for the health and well-being of his people. Now, thank God in these New Testament days, we're not under the restrictions of that Old Testament dietary law. You can have a piece of fried catfish and shout all the way to heaven. Amen. You might go a little earlier than folks that don't eat it, but you can eat pork chops and shout all the way to heaven. And Lester Olof would preach so hard against pork, you know. And Jack House saw him, walked up in an airport one time and saw him eating a great big pork chop. And Brother House said, Brother Olof, I'd rather see my mother kicked and knocked around than to see you eating a pork chop. And Brother Olof had some answer to that. But he didn't believe in pork and all that, you know. But truth of the matter is, according to the New Testament, all food is good for you if it is received with thanksgiving. Amen. In this day and age. Now, God created it that way. Gave me an appetite because food is the fuel that sustains physical life. Without food, you're going to die after a while. Well, the old boy over there in, was it Ireland or someplace, went on that hunger strike some years ago, 56, 57 days, and then he died. And that's what happens when you don't eat. Food is fuel for physical life. Now, look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. And recall there what Jeremiah said. In fact, hold your finger there because we're going to come back there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Jesus here speaking and says something very interesting about the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. He answered, he's in the temptation now of Satan. So Satan's trying to tempt him. If you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I like the wording of this verse, especially the word alone. Man shall not live by bread alone. You say, why do you like that? Because I think that makes it very clear. Jesus makes it very clear. Physical life is sustained by physical food. And foods like bread and milk and meat and honey and vegetables and cheese and butter. Not margarine, but butter. They're all good. The word butter is in the Bible. The word margarine is not in the Bible anywhere. That's the honest truth, isn't it? Huh? You really think it's butter that's killing these people? That's all our great-grandparents had to eat, and they lived to be 85 and 90. They made their own butter, shaking the cow's milk up. Did that down in Tennessee when we milked the cow. We made our own butter a couple times, you know. I don't believe it. I believe it's we sit around a lot more than the folks used to. That's what happens. But anyway, all that's good. All of that's fuel for your physical life. Man should not live by bread alone. Jesus didn't say it's wrong to eat. He just said there's more to life than physical life. And physical bread sustains physical life. But you're going to have more than that to sustain spiritual life. Spiritual life must be sustained by spiritual food. And then he goes on to define what's spiritual food. He'll live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So by the Bible, God's word is spiritual food. My spiritual life is sustained by the word of God. This is what happened to Jeremiah in 15:16. He found God's words and his spiritual life was sustained. His spiritual life was strengthened. His spiritual life was lifted up because he found God's word. And spiritual life is sustained by spiritual food. Now, back to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. And I want you to notice three observations here about what he said. And I'm going just as quickly as I possibly can. A couple of announcements tonight. Get you out of here in good time. I want you to see this. First of all, I want you to notice Jeremiah was hungry. He was hungry. He said, thy words were found. Look at folks. There's a big difference between finding something that I'm not looking for and just kind of stumble on and finding something for which I was looking. I remember when Brother Harrison was here, we made a hospital visit down at Riverside together. And as we were walking in to the hospital, I just happened to glance down and there was a $10 bill laying on the sidewalk. $10 bill. He said, did you take it in and tell them that you found it? No. No, I didn't. How many people walk around Riverside Hospital, in and out of Riverside Hospital? No, I didn't take it in. I picked it up and put it in my pocket. That's what I did. Amen. And then I told Brother Harrison, I reached in, I got a $5 bill, I gave him half. He said, oh, you have to do that. You saw it. I said, no, you're with me. You get a five, I get a five. That's probably $5 more than what we had when we came to the hospital. Amen. That's a blessing. Now, I found the $5 bill, but I just stumbled on it. Okay? That's a little bit different than when my wife lost her diamond out of her ring years ago. And she went searching for it. And she looked and she looked and she looked and she looked and she turned over everything and turned over everything and turned over everything. And finally, by the grace of God, she found it. That's a little different. You understand what I'm saying? I found the $10 bill. She found the diamond, but it wasn't the same finding. I stumbled on that. She searched for it. Now, the word found here is my wife looking for her diamond that fell out of her ring. Jeremiah was in the hunt for some nourishment. He was a man in need of nourishment. He was in need of fuel. He was in need, not physical fuel. He was in need of some spiritual fuel. He was worn down by persecution, suffering, and ridicule. He had a need for nourishment. And that need was satisfied when he went on a search for God's words and found them. Thy words were found. I looked and looked and thy word came to me and I did eat them. He got sustained because he went looking for God's word. We got to be hungry for God's word. How hungry are you for God's word? We talked about that with the Sunday school teachers tonight upstairs. The lesson this Sunday is on the four kinds of ground. The sower, the parable of the sower goes to sow, and he throws the seed. The seed is the same everywhere it goes. But what's different is that ground. There's that good ground that's ready to receive the word of God. That's Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. But these in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They were ready for the word of God, hungry for it. Look over at 2 Samuel chapter 17 for just a moment. Keep your finger here and just flip over a few pages back to your left. 2 Samuel chapter 17, show you a verse here. This is what Jeremiah said. I found them. Thy words were found. I went searching for it. And you can do your word study on that. See if I'm not right on that. Look it up in your dictionary. You'll find the same thing I found. This was not stumbling onto it. This was in search for it. He was hungry. He needed nourishment. And he knew where to get it. The word of God. Now, look at 2 Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse number 27. 2 Samuel 17, verse 27. And it came to pass. This is when David's been run off the throne by his son. When David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Reba, of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter. Do you see that there, folks? Amen. You know, butter. Had to have some biscuits too, huh? He wouldn't have honey and butter without biscuits somewhere. And sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, look at here, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Did you see that? The people were hungry in the wilderness. And because they were hungry, they were weary. So God's people today can become weary because of lack of nourishment. What would happen to you physically if you were to be denied food day after day after day after day after day after day after day? And then you were put outside in the middle of the summer with a push mower in the 95 degree heat to mow a lawn 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You'd probably start to get dizzy. Your vision would start to get blurred. You'd feel nauseated. You wouldn't have enough strength to even push that mower if you had been deprived of food for days and days and days. You'd be weary. You'd need some nourishment, huh? It would be impossible to do. Watch me. Not because you're a bad person, but because you're malnourished. There's a bunch of God's people who are weary. They're not bad people. They're just malnourished. They're weary. They're hungry. They hadn't been feeding. They go, you know, the last meal they had was Sunday when we read the scripture for the text Sunday night. It was quiet. We got another meal tonight, but nobody's eating. You know, you don't eat anything on Monday and Tuesday. Don't plan to eat anything Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And they get weary. They're not bad people. They don't smoke and cuss and gamble and dope addict and all that. They're just weary, worn out. They got no nourishment. Weary. That's what happened here. These folks, they were weary in the wilderness because they didn't have any nourishment from physical food. So sometimes it is the same thing with God's people. It's not a matter of, boy, is a bad person or a good person. It's a matter, it's not a matter of the sin of commission as much as it is the sin of omission. It's not what I am doing, it's what I'm not doing. I'm not eating. I'm not feeding. I'm not taking any nourishment in. And brother, I want to tell you something. God, getting through this old wilderness down here is going to take more than just physical strength and stamina for a child of God. It's going to take spiritual nourishment. Jeremiah got the strength he needed because he went looking for it. He's hungry. And he knew where that food was. Tomorrow morning, you ought to have a good meal. Now, maybe you're a breakfast eater. Maybe that means you'll have some eggs and sausage and hash browns, maybe some biscuits, or maybe you have a bowl of cereal. People are different about their breakfast. Maybe you'll have a bagel. I'm not talking so much about the physical food you eat tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, you ought to have a good spiritual meal. And you ought to be hungry for it and ready for it. Because this is a wilderness. This is a wilderness, and you're going to give out. Remember that little saying, where's the beef? You boys know where that beef is. It's in the refrigerator, isn't it? That's where it is. Like I said last week, you know, still amazing. That's why mom can't find in the morning what was in the refrigerator last night. It's gone. Because the boys know where the beef is. They know where the food is. They get hungry, they go to the refrigerator. All right, here it is. Hunger is a normal physical appetite that leads people to satisfy that appetite, hence the search for food. Spiritual hunger is a normal spiritual appetite that should lead a person to seek to satisfy that appetite. And some of God's people want to blame the weariness on physical stuff. It has nothing to do with physical stuff whatsoever. It's all a matter of spiritual malnourishment. Get hooked on drugs and painkillers and all this stuff. A pill to wake us up in the morning, a pill to put us to sleep at night, and a pill for this and a pill for that. And I'm not against medicine. God knows if you need it, go get it. But I want to tell you something, friend. If you're not eating from this food right here, your problems are not all physical. There's some spiritual malnourishment. Get you a good meal, steady, consistent, you might find a little difference in your life. Amen. That's true. He was hungry. Number two, I'm going to hurry. Jeremiah ate the food he found. He didn't just find it. He ate it. I did eat them. You see, when he was exposed to the spiritual food, he ate it. You know what the word means? It means consume. Now, we all know where the food is. The food is here, but how many eat and how many consume the food? Now, you think for a minute about what happens to the physical food we eat. What happens to it? Goes down into the stomach. The digestive juices break it down by the digestive system. It's integrated into the blood where it is pumped throughout the body for strength and nourishment. Who created it that way? God did. God put it all together so that it functions like that. And when you eat healthy, you feel good. Amen. Sure you do. And when you splurge and eat junk, you don't feel so good. Well, there's a reason for that. There's a difference in having something good and healthy broken down and pumped through your system and having a McDonald's double cheeseburger broken down and pumped through your system. Now, the double cheeseburger is good tasting. But, oh, boy. Huh? He ate. Now, we must eat the food that is a spiritual, gives you spiritual sustenance. It must be broken down, digested, and distributed for spiritual nourishment. Eating the food is our part. God has created the manner in which it is broken down for our spiritual nourishment. The Spirit of God within us, He's the author of this book. If I'll eat it, guess who's going to break it down? Spirit of God's going to break it down. And He's going to get it to work in my life. And it's going to make me strong. You know what our problem is? Our problem is the same problem that we had when we were 5 and 6 years old at the table. What was Mom always saying? Haven't heard it yet. Yeah, I eat your vegetables, yeah, but I'm slow down. Mom was always saying, slow down. I'm telling you, folks, we sit down and pray, and in 5 minutes, a plate is clean. At my house, I'm just going, where'd it go? It's like it was just. I'm trying to tell Leah to stop eating like that. Amen. So, no, she's in the nursery tonight. Not Leah. No. You can pretty well guess who it is. Two plates are consumed before I get through one. How is it at your house, Brother Payne? Mom was always saying, slow down. Chew your food. You swallow chunks instead of bites. And you don't realize the full nutrition. Man, the more you chew it, and you read all those things like I have, the more you chew something, the less you'll eat. That's true. And the more you chew it up, the more it's broken down and distributed through your body for strength and nourishment. And you know, the same thing is true about this. I'll be real honest with you. I decided at the end of last year, I read my Bible through last year, and have done that several years. I've done that lots of times in my Christian life, but I decided, you know what, this year, I'm just going to do something different. I'm just going to read sometimes I'll read 10 chapters and sometimes I'll read 10 verses. And when I read 10 verses, it's usually longer than when I spend 10 chapters. Read, think, read, think. Read, coffee sip, sip of coffee. Read some more, think. Read. So the Spirit of God can break it down. Slow down. It's not important that you check your little box. What's important is that the Spirit of God has the time to break that stuff down here. Amen? That's the truth. So he ate the food he found. He consumed it, went in him, and was distributed through his body. And let me say this tonight about this passage of Scripture. He realized strength from the food. He was hungry. He said, thy words were found. He ate the food he found. I did eat them. And then he realized strength from the food. The Bible says, thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Unto me. You see, the food was strength to Jeremiah. It was strength for his heart. He personally needed nourishment, and he got it. You say, Pastor, the word strength is not found in this passage. No, but joy is, and so is rejoicing. You see that? Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Joy and rejoicing. Friend, listen very carefully. The Bible says plainly in Nehemiah 8:10 that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Steve Epley, bless his name, he was right. He said, we have sung in over 200 churches since we went full time. He said, my opinion, Steve Epley is a good man. He said, the number one problem in our, and he only goes to independent fundamental Baptist churches. He said, the number one thing I see is a famine of joy. A famine of joy. Now, you know what that tells me? It's a famine of the Word of God. He said that, didn't he? He said, the number one thing I see, there's no joy, there's no rejoicing in our assemblies. Now you break it down. No food, no joy, no strength. We'll tell you something, folks. Funny stories and emotional poems and even good music cannot provide the nourishment that is necessary for surviving this wilderness. The only source of nourishment is the Word of God right here. And I'm going to tell you something. He's absolutely right. You tell me that in a Baptist, an assembly of Baptist people, I've been in them. You can say Jesus is wonderful and you won't get a grunt. Not a grunt. I mean, people don't say, you can preach on the virgin birth. That don't faze me a bit. Somebody gets saved. Somebody sings a beautiful song. There's no joy, there's no rejoicing, there's no amen, there's no glory, there's no... You tell me to preach a sermon on Jesus and nobody says a grunt? You tell me that's spiritual? You tell me that's of God? I will never buy that in a million years. In a million years. I don't care how many Dr. Bottle Stoppers with all their degrees. Because those goofballs, when they get to heaven, are going to be going, amen, 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 amen. What are they going to be doing? Now, heaven's not going to be like most Baptist services. They're going to be rejoicing in joy. Won't that be different? Novel. Whoa, man, this is a happy place. It's not like church. Amen. It's not that. It's not always that way here. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes it gets tight, and I don't understand it. But long old faces. Unbelievable. Jeremiah said, "When I ate a good meal, that book, those words, made my heart rejoice." Well, if you only knew, okay. When you get up there, you compare your notes with Jeremiah. Just sitting down on the park bench on Glory Avenue and say, you know, let's talk about how hard you had it. Let's talk about how hard I had it. I wouldn't suggest you do that. I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to be helpful, friend. I'm going to tell you something. Long face is usually an indication of no joy, which is usually an indication of malnourishment. A long face is usually an indication of no joy, which is an indication of no nourishment. How do you feel when you push away from a good meal at the table? And if it's been good, I walk over there and put a kiss on her lips. That was delicious. How you feel? Sometimes when I get off that couch in the morning, it's just the same way. Ah, glory to God. It's not like that every day. But if I consistently feed from this book, I can't help the joy of the Lord is going to be my portion. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not a funny story. It's not a ditty. Everybody bounces around for a while. That only lasts about 10 minutes. It's from within. It's the result of a good old piece of steak with a nice baked potato. Some delicious green beans and carrots. Wash it down with some pecan pie. Amen. You know what it is, folks? It's still as simple as practicing the basics, the fundamentals of the Christian life. When you get away from the fundamentals, you get on shaky ground. And if you're not eating, you're malnourished. And that's the reason your face is long and you have no joy. And that's the reason every day is a burden for you. Malnourished. Doesn't it? Malnourished. Old Job was in a bad time in his life. He said, God, I go this way, and I go this way, and I go over here, and I go over here, and I can't find you anywhere. But he said, although I couldn't find you, I knew where to find your word. And I esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. You know what Job's saying? Before breakfast, I had Bible. John R. Rice lived by that. No Bible, no breakfast. That's how he lived. It never fails. When somebody's had a crisis in their life, when somebody's reached down to the valley and just crashed out spiritually, I mean, zeal is gone, no joy, no care, no apathetic. Are you reading your Bible? No, I quit that. Never. There's no other answer. It's always the same. This is where you get your strength. And when you get the strength, you get your joy, you get the strength, you get your nourishment right here. God created that appetite, and then He put that book right there so that that appetite could be satisfied. It grows up. It's all about appetite. It's all about nourishment. We love to be busy. Got to take time to feed. Take time to eat. Let's pray together. Dear Father, bless the lesson to our hearts tonight. I pray that You'll help folks. I pray that God, You'll please push the reset button in somebody's life here tonight. Take them back to their Bible tomorrow morning. Help them stop making excuses. Help them to stop pointing the finger of blame somewhere else or on somebody else. Help them to humble themselves and get back in Your book. Lord, I pray that the joy of the Lord will be their portion real, real quickly. God, thank You for Your word and what it is to us. Nourishing food. Bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to preach soon on the subject why we have no revival. Because that formula begins with the word humble. If my people will humble themselves. That's why most folks don't get things fixed. We're not willing to humble ourselves and say, oh God, this is what I need. Help me. Let's stand, please. Altar's open for a few moments.